How will a new government handle Greece's debt crisis?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou says he could step down as early as today or whenever a new government takes over there. That Parliament will have to push through big cuts needed for a European rescue package. The opposition up to now has been vehemently against big cuts. But that party, called the New Democracy Party, is likely to take over the government soon. Simos Kethikoglou is a member of Parliament for the New Democracy Movement, and he joins us now from Athens. Hi there.
Hello.
Why are you opposed to these austerity cuts in the Parliament?
Listen, because the policy of austerity and only austerity doesn't solve the problem. It makes it bigger. Right now, I think that everybody understands we need growth and development so that we can fulfill our obligations regarding our European partners and the IMF.
Will the new unity government, you think, support this bailout and the government cuts that are proposed?
The new government is going to be a temporary government just for the time needed to implement the Brussels deal, to pass it through Parliament. And after that, we will have elections as soon as possible.
So what does the New Democracy Party, your party, do to get Greece out of all this debt?
Listen, we agree with the goals set by our European partners. We want a balanced budget. We want to have a smaller public sector. But without growth and development, we won't be able to fulfill our obligations. So it's just obvious that the policy that was up to now implemented was reaching no results. It was making the problem worse.
Balancing the budget, though, and cutting the public sector, I mean, that's easier said than done, right?
Everything is easier said than done. But we believe it can be done.
Did Prime Minister Papandreou, do you think, put the country ahead of his current job?
You know, this agreement that we arrived yesterday, it could have been done on June, but Mr. Papandreou wanted to hold on to his chair. So at least now he has decided to leave his precious chair.
Simos Kethikoglou, who's the Greek member of Parliament for the opposition party New Democracy, thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
And with things in Greece calming down a bit, the next focus on European debt could shift next door to Italy, where that country's cost to borrow has skyrocketed. And it's another indication of how risky investors see Italian politics. From the European desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The interest rate that the Italian government has to pay has hit a record high of more than 6.5%. That's for borrowing money for a 10-year term, and it's stretching Italy's finances to the limit. Some analysts say that if the rate reaches 7%, it's game over. The country may not be able to raise enough taxes to pay the interest without seriously damaging the economy. Italy will then be staring default in the face. Investors are clearly rattled. Italy has the world's third biggest national debt, $2.6 trillion worth. And, says Vincenzo Scarpetta of the Open Europe think tank, doubts are intensifying that Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is able to handle a crisis. Tomorrow he could face a vote of confidence in the Italian parliament.
Berlusconi doesn't have the numbers, so it's a matter of arithmetic. As things stand at the moment, he just can't win the vote.
If he loses, Berlusconi could be forced to resign. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are lower at the moment. Europe's off about 0.5% or so. Dish Network says revenues were up 30% in the last quarter, while subscriptions were down. Best Buy today said it's going to pay $1.3 billion to buy out its British partner in a mobile phone business, and it's giving up on its plans to open superstores in Europe and Asia. Wall Street Friday, stocks were lower. The Dow slipped about 0.5%, 61 points, to end the day and the week at 11,983.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. and by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Mark Zuckerberg is back at Harvard today for the first time since he dropped out of school, and it turns out the Facebook founder has regrets about where he moved his business. From station WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nikisch explains why.
Mark Zuckerberg cooked up his social networking website in his Harvard dorm room, but went on to build his company in Silicon Valley. So recently, a bunch of Valley entrepreneurs did a double take when they heard him say this.
Honestly, if I were starting now, I just would have stayed in Boston.
Zuckerberg was really complimenting Boston on the loyalty I think we all have here.
That's Jason Ivanish, a 26-year-old entrepreneur in Boston, where tech workers stay with their companies longer. In Silicon Valley, software developers hop from job to job for the best offer, and that turnover makes it harder for companies to grow. So Zuckerberg is back in Boston to recruit.
We all feel a little bit vindicated.
Katie Ray runs a tech startup accelerator here, but in some ways she wishes Boston were more like Silicon Valley.
What's been missing in Boston has been this like massive turnover and learning opportunities.
Learning opportunities that come from moving quickly onto the next challenge, even though tech companies would rather their workers stay put. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nikisch for Marketplace.
And finally, later today, we'll get the latest reading from the Fed on how much debt consumers are taking on. Apparently, some of it is for clothes and shoes. The website called Bundle did a little analysis on shopaholics, and by shopaholics, they mean the people who buy the clothes and the shoes and other items we wear. The study looks at which U.S. cities are the biggest for those kinds of shoppers. Seattle ranked 8th, Dallas 5th, Nashville, Tennessee 3rd. Who is number one, you ask? Washington, D.C., where the average resident spends $263 a month on wearable items. That, of course, means look out for some sharp-dressed lobbyists. You can check out the full list, by the way, at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In France, bread is a way of life, and so are the bakeries that make it fresh every day.
They help to really construct the landscape of French ontology, of French being, of French identity.
But bakeries ain't 24/7, you know. I'm Kai Rizdal-Paris. Gets a baguette vending machine, believe it or not. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.